Well, happy Easter, everyone. What a joyous day to be together. And all those who are outside, online, happy Easter. And all the kids getting ready for their Easter egg hunt. It's fun times, isn't it? Yeah, and I'm so glad the choir sang about the storm. Because, you know, Easter isn't Easter without the full story. And the story has a storm in it, right? The story has some darkness in it. The story has some challenge in it. And that's what makes Easter, Easter. It's the process. Bishop Fulton Sheen put it this way, unless there is a Good Friday in your life, there is no resurrection. And that truth isn't about ruining the party. If you had that thought, like, what? No. Because the challenge, at least in this day, is behind us that we are celebrating. And it is because of our challenges that the light shines bright, that there is a sweetness to where we stand now. And that sweetness is that kind of enduring joy, that meaningful joy. It's not just a kind of a surface kind of joy. It's a kind of joy that knows I've been through some stuff, and I know you have, right? In your lifetime, you've been through some stuff. Pain and loss, conflict and heartache, anyone? Any of those things? Yeah. You're a human being. A spiritual being having a human experience. And the human experience includes obstacles, challenges. And that's what makes Easter so amazing. You know, I know some of you, you know, only come on Christmas and Easter, and you might think, like, it kind of seems the same. It's just a different season, you know? The end story seems kind of the same, right? But no, this is like the clear sky cannot be appreciated in its fullness unless you live through the dark clouds and the biting wind. You know? And then it's, oh, the stillness, the clearness, the light, the brilliance of the light is not appreciated until you've known darkness. When you go stumbling into a dark room and you find the light switch, aren't you so glad when the light comes on? It makes your journey safer. It makes your journey more joyful. And more appreciated. So Christmas and Easter, yeah, it might sound kind of similar because Christmas is about that reborn Christ in us, and Easter is about the resurrection and the renewal of that energy within us. But, you know, Christmas is baby Jesus, and Easter is adult Jesus. We're like that newborn child at Christmas, that innocent one. Pure light, yes, but not with the kind of scars that come in life. And that's what Easter is such a celebration, because it says, I can overcome those difficulties. I can overcome the challenges in my life, the challenges I see in our world. They all can be overcome. Because the truth in me rises up. When we come into Easter, it's with a resilience, a knowing of our strength and our resilience, a knowing of our authentic rising up. It wasn't just gifted by grace, it's hard won. It's that kind of raising up. It's that kind of light that we are shining, a light that knows where it's been. And a light that knows where it's been is a deeper, wiser kind of light, is it not? Yeah. You know this because you've walked it. You've lived it. Your heart has broken open how many times? But the good news is it breaks open. That is the good news, right? We can choose to constrict, but eventually the truth is revealed and the openness is there for us, for the taking, for the enjoyment, for the true joy that lives there. So here at Easter time, we're on the other side of all of that that has come before. Good Friday is the crucifixion, the falling away, the letting go of the kind of, you know, shaking off the dirt and the dross and the heaviness of everything we have been carrying and giving it over because we can't carry it anymore. It's that moment when we realize it's not I, but the strength within me, the divine within me, the light within me, the love within me that can carry this forward. And it's that giving over, that moment of surrender, that everything shifts, everything changes. And that is our walk, just as it was Jesus' walk, in a different kind of way, in a different time. So the cells of our resurrected spirit, the cells of the light body, still carry the wisdom of what you bring forward. And what we bring forward are the qualities that carry us forward, that strength, that resilience. We don't have to hold on to the memories of what all happened to get us there. We can let go of that and know what I bring forward is the blessing. What I bring forward is the knowing. What I bring forward is the wisdom of an adult who has been through some stuff and come through on the other side. That's the joy of Easter. That's what Easter's all about. Yeah, it's good stuff. And a word of caution. Yeah, and when you clap, you know, it's like you're clapping the energy of yourself. You're saying, "Yes, I have been through some stuff. Look at me. Here I am today. I got my Sunday best on." And I don't necessarily mean your outer garments. I mean that inner light. I mean, look around at the lights around you. Look at the community that you gather in. It is light and bright in here. I get to look at all your faces. And they're beautiful, shiny faces that say, "I keep on. I keep on shining. I keep on digging deep. I keep on finding more love to give to myself and to everybody around me. I find more light to shine. I find more sense of we can do this. I find more ways to unite with my brothers and sisters and to know that together our lights shine brighter and brighter into the world and heal whatever needs to be healed. I know, just like walking in a dark room and flipping on the switch, that when I shine my light from this very place, from this very moment, to whatever breaks my heart in the world, to whatever dark corner I can imagine, that it lights it up, that it brings light to the places that are dark. Because that's who we are. That's what we've been through. Jesus is like the captain of the football team. You know how they always have those hoops? And the first guy, like, plows through the paper. It's usually paper, but, you know, in this case, I'm sure it's something very heavy. But anyway, the rents the curtain, right? Rents the curtain of the temple. So the first guy is the one who breaks it open. And the rest of the team then can just go right through. And that's what happened. Our way shower broke open into a whole new realm of consciousness, and we all just go on through behind. It's already been done for us. The good work has been done for us. That's also the celebration, to say thank you for this teacher who made the way easy for me so that I can follow through with my team, with my community, with my family, with my neighborhood, with my nation, and say, yes, we can flow through the portal to the new level of consciousness that is shiny and bright, because I am that I am, and I realize that truth of who I am when I wake up this morning on Easter Sunday, and when I wake up tomorrow on Monday, and then on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and from now on. Because you know what happens? We have a cumulative experience of growth. When we have a breakthrough, when we have an awakening, when one day we have some kind of miraculous moment where Spirit says, you know what, you are playing too small, and you realize, I am not about limitation and lack. I am not about false beliefs. I am going to grow into this truth of who I am. I'm going to go from that innocent babe that I was at Christmas time to this one who has walked through some fires, and I'm going to come out on the other side and say, this is who I am now, and to know it. And Jesus, you know, is not the only character in the Easter story. You know, a story has to have a full cast of characters to really understand what it is about, what is this depth. And we understand that in a story, we are all the characters, right? We get to be all the characters. That's part of the fun, and that's part of the surprise, because we say, oh, well, yeah, I'll be Jesus. Cast me as Mary Magdalene. I see her as, you know, powerhouse. Doubting Tom? I don't think I want to be Thomas. Pontius Pilate? No. But guess what? We're all of them. So Pontius Pilate is the one who is politically given the power. So we know this isn't real power, right? But it's worldly power. And so he's given the power to make the choice about what happens to Jesus. Now, have you ever known in your heart and your gut that something was right, that you were going a certain direction, and then the crowd pulled you the other way? Maybe it was the crowd of your thoughts, but maybe it was the crowd, the mentality, the angry, bloodthirsty mob that made you go the wrong direction. Pontius Pilate thought Jesus was innocent. But then a crowd rose up, and who knows what all was going on. They were probably hot and hungry and thirsty and tired and angry about a bunch of stuff. And then they've just found that they could, oh, yeah, let's, you know, they get into the bloodthirsty mentality. It's our, you know, low brain kind of place that we can go as human beings, right? And then it gathers in that kind of energy. And so Pontius Pilate is listening to the crowd, and he goes that direction. And when we do that, what do? But we condemn someone. Have you ever condemned somebody? Have you ever cut somebody out of your life? You ever harshly judged somebody and later thought, that wasn't really right. I don't feel good about that. Have you ever harshly judged yourself, condemned yourself in a way that you wish later you hadn't? You regret the choices that you have made. Ever? Anyone? Yeah. Brené Brown, the social researcher, says that shame thrives in darkness. Shame thrives in silence. Shame thrives in secrecy. And only empathy can be its antidote. So what happens after that condemning, what happens after that harsh judgment and that recognition and the regret that maybe we should have gone the other way and followed our intuition in the first place, what we knew was true, and we went the other way? What we do then is what Pontius Pilate, his other job was he ordered that a stone be rolled before the tomb. Seal it off. Isn't that what we do? When we regret or we have shame, put it in the tomb, bury it, and then seal it so I don't ever have to look at this again, so I don't ever have to feel guilt or shame again. We seal it off. But Brené Brown is saying there's a way to roll the stone away. And eventually the truth has a way of revealing itself. Eventually, that shame has a way of finding its way out, doesn't it? Sometimes in ways that we wish it wouldn't, because it's so embarrassing to us. That's the whole point of what shame is about, right? Keep it in the shadows, seal it away, bury it. So if you have such secrets that you are still holding, that thing you've never told anyone, find somebody who can hold space and tell them. Because just as Brené Brown says, there's like a petri dish here that you put in the silence and the secrecy and the darkness and all this, and you mix it together and you have more shame, that when you put it out into the light of day, when you air it to somebody who can hold that space, it heals. It is the antidote. It disappears. It dissipates. There is no place for it anymore. And that, my friends, is a resurrection. Have you had that experience before? Have you let go of things that you were ashamed of? Have you found somebody that can hold the space so that you can tell them this dark secret and put it into the light of day? The Catholics really have something with that confession idea. Roll away the stone. And when we roll away the stone, we lighten our hearts and we lighten our souls. And that way, then, we can let more of this light out. That brilliance that we sealed off when we thought we were just sealing off that shameful, regretful thing, we also sealed off our joy, our brilliance, our light, the depth of our love. Open it up. Let it out. There's plenty of good-hearted folks that'd be happy to bear witness to you. Mary Magdalene was, it seems, kind of a bearing witness kind of friend to Jesus, and I'm sure the other direction. And on that morning, she's the one who comes to the tomb. She's the one who beholds him, who witnesses the empty tomb, who mistakes him at first for the gardener, and then realizes he's alive. Have you ever been witness to a miracle of life? Yeah. Can you think of one? A lot of you are nodding your heads. Anybody want to share one? Yeah, Danae.
Holding my granddaughter right after she was presented to the world via C-section.
Ah, yes. I thought somebody would be talking about newborns. Anybody else? A miracle of life that you recall? Yeah. This moment right now. I love it. Welcome. It's so that moment, right, that you beheld that miracle of life. You know what that feels like when we have that moment? Do you remember what, you might remember the moment and the event, but what did you feel like? Because in that moment, don't we feel lifted up? In that moment, don't we feel like anything is possible that we didn't think was possible before? To behold the miracle of life, however that might show up for us, is to rise up into that higher vibration of possibility, and to feel it accessible to us now gives us the experience that says, it's here for me, it's available to me, and then we live with that knowing, excuse me, that experience and that knowing we carry forward with us. And then for Mary Magdalene, it's this great joy that she gets to be the one to spread the news. She gets to be the one to tell the family about the newborn, the new baby granddaughter, or whatever it is that is that joy. You get to be the one that not only brings the joy, spreads the joy, but maybe even recognize that you have the possibility of impacting other lives, of bringing forth inspiration for others. Have you had that experience? And you realize what a special thing that is to be able to be the one who bears the good news, who spreads the good news. And when we have that moment and that feeling and that experience, remember how it feels and what it does for you. Because then the next time somebody is spreading nasty news about somebody or is going the other direction, condemning and judging and dividing and whatever other ridiculous antics us humans do, you can think about, oh, how good it feels to spread good news. How good it feels to be the one who brings joy. How good it feels to be the one who lights up the room. I will be that person now. Yeah? We need you. We need you to be that person. Thomas, the disciple Thomas, often considered the one who doubted. But I think there's a whole lot more to Thomas here. Of course, there's a whole lot more to all these characters, because there's a whole lot more to all the aspects of our being, all the ways that we show up, even though we might get labeled or labeled ourselves and some part of ourselves is not good or not helpful. If you think about the lessons that one brings, it can be very helpful to us. So what is it about Thomas? Well, there's the risen Christ, and he's like, I don't believe it until I touch your hands, until I put my fingers in the wounds and feel those wounds myself. And what is Thomas doing? But he's showing us that sometimes we just got to know with our bodies. Sometimes it's like, I'm not quite sure until I feel it in my heart or I know it in my gut. If you have that knowing, it's like, I got to know it in my body. I got to turn on my senses and see it and hear it and touch it and taste it and feel it. And then I'll have a sense of grounded spiritual truth. And that's why we have this body anyway. It's not like a lump of flesh and then a transcendent spirit. I think that's what a lot of us were taught, right? I'm just a lump of flesh. It's poor, lowly, sinful thing. And then there's like that great, you know, light in the sky whence we shall ever meet. Oh, not until I die. That is not a very happy story. That's the one I grew up with, but it doesn't work for me. Hence, us here together, right? But instead to recognize that the knowing happens through the body, that the body itself becomes the light body. It's not the discarding of the body. It's the rising up of the body. It's the allowing the wholeness of the body to vibrate with the joy and the life and the truth that we are. And to let go, to crucify, to cross out, if you will, that stuff that's been dragging us down. That stuff that is not true about ourselves, that we have believed and we keep telling ourselves. Enough already. It's Easter Sunday again. It's another opportunity for us to say no and yes. And then to find ourselves at the hoop, at the portal that's already been opened. How joyous for us that all we have to do is step through. It's not as hard for us because the way has been shown. And then we have Cleopas and Mary. This was Jesus' uncle and aunt. They're walking down this road after all that has happened in Jerusalem, and they're lamenting, oh my goodness, Jesus, look at what's happened to Jesus. And they're sad, and it's just a horrible experience, right, that they're going over and over again trying to make sense of it. And this guy is walking alongside of them, and he says, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, my goodness, where do you come from? Have you been living under a rock? Well, it turns out he has been dead behind a stone. And so Jesus says, well, didn't all your prophets and your scriptures, you know, predict all of this? Told you everything that was going to happen? Given a little food for thought. And then they come to their home, and, you know, back then, when the sun's going down and a stranger is nearby, you invite him in because it's a time of hospitality, right? You're not going to let that stranger just keep walking on down the road in the dark. They're going to come in, and they're going to have dinner, and you're going to give them a place to sleep. And so they invite the stranger in, and they say, come on in, have some dinner with us. And the stranger sits down and breaks the bread and gives thanks, and in that moment, they say, oh, it's Jesus, and he disappears. Why is it that on the road they didn't recognize him? Why is it that when they were having this lively intellectual discussion about the scriptures and all that has happened and they were lamenting their lot, that they didn't recognize him? Because they were in a low vibration of emotion and they were using their intellect to try to understand. But that's not where we access the Spirit. That's not how we commune with the Spirit. That's not how we have the experience in our body with the Spirit. It's in the breaking of the bread. It's in the feeding of the body. It's in the prayer of thanks. And it's the moment when we're facing one another, eye to eye and heart to heart, that we begin to commune with the Spirit. There I am in the midst of you, wherever one or two, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am. And that's how we experience our own spirit, isn't it? It isn't by intellect. It isn't by understanding. I mean, all of that is great and good and helpful in a kind of way, but it's not the real, like, bring it kind of experience. It's not the moment of communion, of recognition of, oh, my God, there you are. Oh, my God, there I am. Oh, we are one. As it turns out, I am that I am. As it turns out, I'm stepping through now, that portal, because in the moment of recognition, we step through, or we have already stepped through, because we're in the love, we're swimming in it, we're in the joy. And thank God back there we had the darkness, because we wouldn't know how sweet the light is now. Thank God we had those times we did not feel loved, because oh, does it feel so good to be loved when you thought you were unlovable. Yes? Here we are in the portal and through it because we are willing to step up and to stand up and to shine our light. No more apologetic kind of shining. I'm shy. There's no room for shy. I used to think I could never stand up and speak in front of people because I was a really shy little kid. And I was so self-conscious about public speaking. But you know what? God had other plans. And so it's just like, okay, use me. I'm here to be used. I want to be that empty flute that Spirit plays, don't you? I want to be the one who brings the light. I want to be the one that brings the joy. I want not out of ego. That's not what this is about. That got left on the cutting room floor. That was the crucifixion, right? The ego gets left behind. It's still serving us because we need the ego because we're still on the body. But still, it knows its place. And it knows when it is called. It knows when it communes with Spirit. It knows that moment of the breaking of the bread, and it hears the thanksgiving bubbling up from inside. And it says, put me through the portal. Put me on the team, the spiritual team that is going to rise up together and shine their lights together so bright that this world will not know what has hit it. Because the darkness will be lit up. And boy, do we know darkness in this world. The sad places will be illumined with joy. The barren places will grow again, will green again. And the polluted rivers will be clean again. All of these promises are given to us. If only we say yes. If only we walk through. That's all we have to do. Say, yes, God, put me in. Make me part of the team. Tell me what to do, and I will be an open vessel, a shiny, bright light that I came here to be. That's you. That's you. Do you see it in yourself? Do you know it in yourself? When you get a little glimmer of it, let it shine. Don't hide it. Jesus said, don't hide it. Why would you shine or put your light under a bushel basket? It's always a bizarre metaphor to me. But whatever it is, you know, why would you hide it? Why would you seal it off? You know, we have grown too much. We have been through too much to play small with this stuff anymore, to leave that the skeletons in the closet and to think somehow we rolled the stone over it and that stuff is sealed off. It is not sealed off. It shows up in your relationships. It shows up how you show up. It shows up in the ways that you are a barrier to the love inside you that can't wait to get out. It shows out in the ways that you hide your light and you play small and you limit yourself and you say, I can't or I won't or I don't have the ability, or I don't have enough, whatever. all those ways that we keep ourselves down. And Spirit is saying, please just let it go and open your heart and move through the portal that has already been broken through for you by your way shower. Step in and shine it and be it, because the world needs you. The world needs you. Do you know how much the world needs you? Needs your light, your love, your specific way of being, your leadership, your teaching, your words of truth, your inspiration, your sharing, your big-hearted love. The world is dying to have it, begging for it, asking you. And so, will you say yes to it? Watchman Nee was a Chinese Christian martyr, and he said, our old history ends with a cross, and our new history begins with the resurrection. So we just bring forth the wisdom, like Jesus did. Easter is our spiritual maturation. It's our breakthrough with a knowing of what it's like to be a human being and to still rise up. And still we rise. And still we rise. And we are lighter and brighter because we remember who we are. So let's shine, shine, shine. Shine, shine. That's all we're going to do is shine. Yes? Rise up and put on that, adorn yourself with that inner light every morning. Whatever you have to do to shake off the dross, whatever your practices are, do them so that big light that the world wants, that your country wants, that your friends and your family and your neighbors want, need, and that you need. You know, just like Mary, she felt the joy when she shared the joy. We feel the enlightenment when we share our light in this way. So let's affirm it together, shall we? And hear some more Easter music. Together, adorned in my inner garment of light, I rise and shine. And so it is.